Welcome to another episode of your favorite podcast. Indeed, it is Quality Hang. I am Rod Brooks. And as always, I am joined on this podcasting adventure by my homie, my partner in crime, the king of New Orleans, Louisiana. He is Marcus Osborne. What's up, man?
What's good, Rod? What's good?
All good. All good.
I don't know if this means much, but we hit a little milestone. We got past a thousand listens of our little podcast. So
yeah, baby, world domination is coming. There's nothing you can do to stop it. Quality Hang will take over the world, and you either get down with it or you get run over. The streets will run red with the blood of the non-believers.
That took a turn quickly. I'm not going
to
lie.
Sorry to get megalomaniacal on you. I feel very strongly about what we're doing. I'm sorry.
What was that said in Anchorman? Now, that escalated quickly.
It really got out of hand. No, I love it, man. We've said this, you know, off microphone, and we've said this on the show. Ever since this was an idea, late winter, early spring of this year, we knew that we were going to have fun, and we knew that people were going to vibe with it. It was just a matter of just trying to find our audience, within a very crowded podcasting landscape. So no, man, I didn't know that we did that. That is a very nice surprise, and that's great to hear. Yeah. And to all of you that are frequent listeners to this podcast, I know I can speak for Marcus when I say this. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And there is much more to come. Believe that.
Preach it, baby. Preach.
That is absolutely awesome. But again, if you ain't down with Quality Hang, don't make me go Tupac and hit him up. If you ain't down with Quality Hang, then F you, F your crew, F the horse you rode in on, and don't make me talk about your mama. Please don't make me talk about your mama. Just get down with Quality Hang, please. Yeah,
that could be rough. All right, I think this week there's just so much. Honestly, I threw some things on the rundown, but I mean, there's so many things going through my mind this past week.
Let's put it this way. There's so much going on this week that the person whose name I will not mention, but you know who I'm talking about because he has been dominating the news cycle for the past couple of weeks. The person whose name I will not mention, his current shenanigans and exploits rank, what do you say, maybe sixth or seventh on the list of things we want to talk about here on this week's episode of Quality Hang. So let us get right to it, shall we? We always start with lifestyle. What's up, Marcus?
Oh, man. Did you, by any chance, get a chance to see any of this court case with Daryl Brooks?
I did not. Let me say this first and foremost. Homie ain't no relation to me. Just because we got the same last name don't mean I know him. I ain't never met him. I don't be knowing no Daryl Brooks like that. So, Marcus, please tell the folks why Daryl Brooks, who, again, I, Rod Brooks, am in no way, shape, or form related to, please tell me why Daryl Brooks was convicted of a heinous crime and what the crime was.
I mean, it was kind of a foregone conclusion, really. And Daryl Brooks, 40-year-old dude, Milwaukee man, he drove his Ford Escape through. I mean, it's not funny. It's not funny. But this entire thing is insane. It's absurdly funny, his court case was. He drove his SUV through a Christmas parade. In Waukesha, I think we pronounced that county. And he was found guilty of 6 counts of homicide, and he injured like 70-some people. That's not even what I was fascinated by, because this was, like I said, a foregone conclusion. But this dude went to court, and you want to talk about a cat making a mockery of the entire judicial system, it is this guy. And first of all, he went in there. He went in there with this sovereign citizen bullshit.
And
I don't know if you've heard of these guys, but these sovereign citizen guys, whenever they get into court, essentially they think of themselves as a country unto themselves. They do not observe the laws of the land, of the city, of the state, of the nation in which they live.
Yes.
They are their own sovereign country, sovereign nation. So he's throwing all that bullshit out there. And at every step of the way, he was barking at the prosecutors, barking at the, I mean, this judge, Jennifer Doreau, was a saint. I don't know how she managed to deal with this dude for the past month, but what a colossal pain in the ass he was. And I was watching him and I kept telling myself, I need to stop watching this. But this dude was such a piece of shit. And he was, but here's the really sad part about it. If you get a chance to go back and see any of these videos, you'll see like, damn, this dude, it's one of those situations where you feel like if this dude had made different choices, he probably would have been a brilliant attorney. And I am dead serious.
That's not necessarily a ringing endorsement of
the
lawyering industry. Let me put it that way.
It's just, but he was so sharp. He was really handling his business. He was parrying with the judge and making her life miserable. Obviously, he was just throwing a bunch of shit at the wall, seeing if it would stick like any other defense attorney would do. I just think his mistake was, the funny thing is, he may not have gotten, well, nah, he's going to be convicted one way or another. I was about to say that if he had an attorney, things may have not have gone so badly for him. But, you know, if he had a defense attorney, they may have been able to mount a defense that didn't have him, life in prison with no possibility of parole, which is what I feel he's going to get.
But here's the great thing about it. I'm glad this fool represented himself, and I'm glad this fool convicted himself, because when you get in your car and you run through a Christmas parade and you kill half a dozen people and you injure, what did you say, 70 something people, then hey man, you deserve to go under the jail. All right. So I'm glad he did all of us a solid by making sure he was going anyway, as you mentioned, Marcus, because the crime was so heinous and everybody knew that they did it. But I'm glad he did us all a solid and he made sure that was going to happen. You answered a question a little while ago that I had, because I really hadn't been following the trial. Matter of fact, I forgot that the crime happened. That's how you know how crazy stuff is in the United States of America, that I had forgotten that a dude around Christmas got into his car and mowed down a half dozen people. But you already answered a question I had. Did he, Daryl Brooks, no relation, did he represent himself? And he did, which along with the sovereign citizen thing, which I'll get to in just a second, if you're a sovereign citizen or you believe that and you represent yourself in a court of law against charges that you murdered half a dozen people with your car, you are crazier than a rat in a Folgers coffee can. Because only an idiot, what's that old adage? I forget what it is.
Someone who represents himself has a fool for a client or something like that?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what it is. If he is crazy enough to do that, then this dude needs to be removed from society. And that's sovereign citizen nonsense, and it is absolutely nonsense.
Sure.
That's just the human version of international waters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I can go in international waters and, you know, I can murder as many people as I want. No, you can't.
Yeah.
You're just murdering people on some sort of a seafaring vessel.
Yeah.
You can't do it. You're not a sovereign citizen. All right? Stop it. No one is. That ruse is not
Facts.
Going to work.
Facts.
And if you believe that, well, then you're an idiot. So I'm glad Daryl Brooks, no relation, I am glad that this guy has removed himself from society. I wish he would have done it before he ran over these people. And if I'm not mistaken, Marcus, didn't he get in his car and run these people over and kill these six people? Didn't he do that because he had a fight with his girlfriend?
Yeah.
Come on, dog. Yeah.
By the way,
you fighting with your chick and then you go kill six people? You should have killed yourself.
And by the way, he was also a registered sex offender because his baby mama was 16 at the time he was dating her. And
ew.
He got her knocked up. And I'm like,
gross.
This dude... He was just he's a piece of work, he's a mess. And I'm like, wow, I cannot believe this. But again, not only was he up there, and he was dragging this thing out. He was doing what he wanted to do. But it comes down to this other thing that's really, really interesting to me. It's this phenomenon we talked about last week with our guy Khan, and even with Donald Trump and other cult leaders. They are charismatic people who say a bunch of bullshit that sounds really smart and intelligent to other people. And it makes people want to follow him because this dude had folks fawning all over him, talking about
how
the system was being unfair to him. The judge wasn't being fair to him. They weren't treating him. I knew this was going to happen because this is what we do in this country. It is like clockwork. You put a moron in front of people, a charismatic moron with a microphone, and then suddenly he's got a fan base. But then you knew it was going to happen. It happened with Kanye. It happened with Trump. It happened with Elon Musk, who we'll get to later on. I mean, all these charismatic morons have these followings, and it's just a fucking cult thing.
Yeah, it's morons being led by a more charismatic moron.
Yeah,
that's all it is. One of my favorite bands is Living Color.
Yeah,
and their debut single, their most known song, is Cult of Personality.
Yep,
and that song came out in 1988, and it was relevant before it came out. It was relevant when it came out, and it's relevant now. We as human beings, especially those of us who are not very smart, not very savvy, not very with it, it's amazing how we can be so easily led by charismatic, terrible, sometimes not very smart people.
Yeah,
it's the very smart ones that are dangerous, that are truly dangerous. But you know, the dumb ones can be dangerous too.
Sure,
if their rhetoric is quite spicy and they get enough people on their side, but. Boy, Cult of Personality is a real thing. Always has been, always will be.
And this is why I'm constantly in this ongoing debate with people who get mad at me because I get annoyed or even upset by some of the things that people say publicly. Certain people in power say publicly because they'll inevitably turn to me and say, well, Marcus, it's just words. You should be able to ignore it. I'm like, no, man, words have power. If words didn't have power, we wouldn't give people microphones. Politicians wouldn't make speeches. We wouldn't have scripts and commercials. Like, of course words matter. What are you saying? Just because you don't think it should bother anybody doesn't mean it doesn't, and doesn't mean it's not really incredibly influential in a negative way. Mm-hmm. And we have these people who are constantly running off at the mouth, like the Kanyes of the world. And then they appeal to this really weird segment of the population that is drawn towards not just the charismatic stupidity of these guys, but the fact that they are saying things that are rebellious and oftentimes cruel and most often super not factual, just incredibly wrong. I don't know what it is about these folks. I don't know why there are people who are intent on simply being, they call themselves free thinkers, but really are the biggest fucking idiots.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of dumb people out there, dog. And dumb people are easily fooled. They're easily led.
Yeah.
And you can make a lot of money or get a lot of fame. And normally fame and money come hand in hand. But you can get a lot of that if you get enough dumb people on your side.
I'll tell you, the last 5 years, I have been fairly surprised by some of the people who I felt were relatively intelligent human beings all of a sudden say some of the dumbest, stupidest, believe in some of the most idiotic shit I've ever heard. Like, easily disprovable stuff. Like, you hear it on surface, you go, that's 100% not true. Like, I don't even need to do research on that. That's not true. If you believe that, you're an idiot. This whole Trump thing is made morons of some people who I thought were actually pretty bright.
Well, as a child of divorce, making me naturally skeptical about everything and everyone, I'm not surprised. not surprised at all. Not saying that sometimes I'm like, oh man, really? You? I think I could be disappointed and not surprised at the exact same time. I don't put nothing past nobody.
Sure.
Outside of people that I know and I love and I trust, my immediate family and my immediate friends, those that I care about and whose opinions I care about, as we talked about earlier off mic. Once you get out of that small group of people, putting my trust in people I don't know and institutions I don't know.
Yep.
Nah, not the kid. Can't be me. No. I've been disappointed on way too many Christmases to fall for that shit.
Where's dad?
Nah, son. I am not falling for the banana in the tailpipe.
That's
no
hilarious.
Sirree, Bob.
What have we got in sports?
Yeah, let's get on to the world of sports. As we record this episode of Quality Hang on Friday, October 28th, in the AM, we are only a few short hours away from Game 1 of the 2022 World Series, pitting the Philadelphia Phillies against my Houston Astros. Go Stros. The Stros are heavily favored, although I do believe that the Phillies are a team to be respected, definitely not taken lightly.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if my Astros I wouldn't be surprised if they lost tonight. I wouldn't be surprised if they were down in the series. I will definitely not be surprised if this series goes to Philadelphia after this upcoming weekend, 1-2-1. But now there's enough of the kind of the sports, sports nerding out about it.
Yeah.
Something I want to talk about, and we didn't even discuss this before the show, but I knew when I read this a couple of days ago that this was going to be something we would get into here, Marcus, on the show, because this is something we've talked about over the course of this baseball season.
Mm-hmm.
When we started Quality Hang back this past spring, which coincided, coincidentally, with the beginning of this 2022 baseball season, that for the first time since 1950, there are no U.S.-born black players on either of the World Series teams. There are no U.S.-born black players on the Houston Astros. Michael Brantley, who is a black American player, he is not on the playoff roster. And the Phillies don't have a U.S.-born black player on their roster. There are plenty of Afro-Latino, Afro-Caribbean players on each roster, just as there are plenty of those players in all of Major League Baseball. But the black American player, for the first time since 1950, Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in 1947.
Man.
There are no black players participating in a World Series. Dusty Baker, the African-American manager of the Houston Astros, he talked about it. I'm paraphrasing here. Dusty said it's not surprising, but that doesn't make it any less sad. I completely agree with that. And naturally, Marcus, when this is brought up, baseball fans in particular tend to get defensive, and they say, well, that doesn't make, you know, that's not baseball's fault. It is. That doesn't make baseball racist. You're right.
Yeah,
I don't necessarily think that baseball is more inherently racist than the NFL, than Major League Baseball. But what I do think Major League Baseball has done is they realized years ago that it is not necessarily in their interest to cultivate black baseball players from the United States of America and a black fan base in the United States of America. In essence, they've ceded that ground to the NFL and the NBA. And to me, to just for Major League Baseball to say, well, black people aren't into baseball for whatever reason, whether it's watching it or participating in it. So you know what? We'll just say we don't. It's not a big deal. To me, what is just as dangerous as being openly racist and disliking people of color, to me, what is just as dangerous is being apathetic to people of color. And baseball right now is very apathetic when it comes to black Americans participating in their sport and watching their sport. And to me, that is just as insidious. That is just as dangerous. It might not be flat out just full on, just virulent racism as one would think it is, but it is still racist in to its core when you just go, well, you know what? Black people just don't bang with this sport anyway, so whatever. We'll just move on. Nah, that's pretty disgusting too.
Yeah, man, it's really sort of an interesting turn of events. You and I have been talking about this over the course of the season, and it really
I mean, to me, it was a little bit shocking, but not surprising, I guess, when you think about the trend of the past sort of 20 years, fewer and fewer black players have been involved. And we've gotten to the point now where, yeah, ain't no brothers up in the game. And I mean, there were instances where we talked about this with the A's. The A's didn't have any black players on the team for a few seasons. Mm-hmm. And we all kind of, yeah, well, it's just a thing. It's just an anomaly. Nah, it's not. It's a weird trend. And I think that as long as baseball is making money, which they are still making money, they won't care. And until they are not making money, it won't be a big deal to them. They'll give it lip service, but ultimately they won't care. I guess from our standpoint, we have to figure out what happened to black folks really being into that game. And sure, we could say that it's the pace of the game, it's slow, et cetera, and all that stuff, but I don't know, man. It's faster now than it was 20 years ago. There are more home runs being hit. I mean, you really don't even have to hit for average anymore. Like, no. You know what I'm saying? If you got power, it's in. You don't have to steal bases. I think, and this is going to be weird to say, there are fewer skills necessary to be a baseball player in a weird way. And you know, obviously, there were times when folks. We talked about like the expense of playing baseball, having to find a diamond and getting a bunch of players. But mm-hmm. I remember just playing strikeout at my house mm-hmm. and with just me and one of my buddies just throwing mm-hmm. the ball and we'd play catch. Or if we just get in the neighborhood, we'd put like a soda can was first base and a sweater was second base. Oh, yeah. And then like a piece of cardboard was third base. We did it ourselves.
Absolutely.
It was fun. And somewhere along the way, and I don't know, I don't even have a theory as to what happened. But somewhere along the way, black folks just decided, I'm not really down with this anymore.
Well, it's kind of complicated, but I think it is pretty simple, and I'll try to go the simple route. First and foremost, Michael Jordan showed up. and that completely just changed the game. You know, I mean, it changed sport and pop culture. In this country, it changed how sports were marketed. It changed how people viewed the NBA. I think it changed how people viewed, to a certain extent, the athletic black male. Secondly, there's only right now, from a high of 18% in 1991, there's only 7%. Let me rephrase this here. Out of all of Major League Baseball, black Americans make up 7% of the players. It was 18% back in 1991. I think that goes back to my Michael Jordan thing. Mm-hmm. When was Michael Jordan starting to win titles?
Yeah.
1991, 1992, 1993, and then he came back after retirement and then won three more. But with baseball and how black people view it and where baseball is right now, yeah, there's a lot of power in baseball, but there's no athleticism. But the way the game is played, mainly, if not completely due to analytics, it has taken out the athleticism of the game. You don't have stolen bases anymore.
No.
People just try to get on base, whether it's by walking or by hitting, mm-hmm. and which is the only way you can get on base. But they're trying to get on base or trying to either hit home runs. If you do get on base, they're not stealing bases. You will not see a hit and run. You'll see a balk before you see a hit and run because you're just trying to get enough people on base so that one home run, that one blast can get you two runs or three runs. Like we see in the NBA where the three-pointer has become king because three is more than two.
Yeah.
Well, if you have teams are not going to try and manufacture runs or to manufacture a run when you can set yourself up for a big inning, mainly due to the home run.
Yeah.
The shift has taken away positional athleticism. Yeah. How many times do you watch baseball and you see a ball hit to a guy and he doesn't have to move? Well, because of the shift and also because of the numbers, you know, with spray charts telling where guys like to hit the ball, you can position the guy perfectly and that ball will be hit to him more often than not. Yeah. Well, not saying that it doesn't take athleticism to play baseball, but it does. But it's taken away the athleticism of, I got to run to go get that ball because I wasn't in the perfect position.
Yeah.
And since you've removed the athleticism from Major League Baseball, it's not a game that's as fun to watch as basketball, where athleticism is absolutely key. Yeah. Football or athleticism is absolutely key.
Yeah.
And this keep it funky 100%. The Black American athlete is the most athletic athlete in this country, maybe on the planet. And if the Black American athlete, who is this athletic marvel, if the game of baseball doesn't have a place for him and for his athleticism, why would you go there? When there are two sports in particular, basketball and football, who need that athleticism, who crave that athleticism and pay big money for that athleticism. You've taken the athleticism out of Major League Baseball, and Black people just don't fuck with it.
Yep. Yeah, it's so weird, man. Like, would there be a place for a Tony Gwynn or a Ricky Henderson in today's baseball?
Well, that's a really good question. And I say this, Tony Gwynn and Ricky Henderson, a guy who hit for average in Tony Gwynn, and a guy who is the greatest base stealer of all time, greatest leadoff hitter of all time as well, in Ricky Henderson. Those two skills, as you mentioned, Marcus, are not as valued in today's Major League Baseball as it was, 20 years ago, 20, 25 years ago. I will say this, greatness can play all the time. And Tony Gwynn absolutely could play in this era. Absolutely. And the same with Ricky Henderson, because Ricky has some pop too. So,
yeah,
you know, with Ricky Henderson having some pop and having that speed, I mean, he would be some way, somehow put to good use because his skill set is just so wow. And the same thing with, you know, with Tony Gwynn. It would be weird to see Tony Gwynn go up to, not have a two-strike approach. Mm-hmm. it would be weird to see Tony Gwynn strike out, you know, I don't know, 100 times in the season, whatever.
Oh, my God.
But then again, Tony Gwynn probably wouldn't do that. He would probably just put the ball in play. And Tony Gwynn was an athlete. Tony Gwynn was a very, very good basketball player at San Diego State. So, I think he would find a way to adjust to today's game in this hypothetical scenario. And I believe the same thing about Ricky Henderson, because greatness translates no matter the era, flat
That's
out.
True. They'd probably drop Ricky to third, and he'd be a home run hitter.
You're 100% right.
He'd swing for the fences more. He'd probably hit 30 home runs a year, 30, 35 home runs a year.
Yeah, and he'd have a shit ton of doubles.
And stretching them to triples.
Right, stretching them to triples. Yeah, he'd have a lot of doubles and reaching third on a throwing error from a panicked outfielder who's like, "Wow, this guy's as fast as I've ever seen."
I want to talk about the NBA. I'm glad you hit on that, because that was one of the things I wanted to get onto, and I figured there'd be a few things. NBA has just kicked off, and so I touched on it briefly a couple of weeks ago, and this has just been one of those things that's been – I've been noodling around as a theory just kind of the past 4 or 5 years. I think that – we talked about Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and I was saying, like, I don't think these guys – are going to win an NBA title. And I believe that is because their one skill, though it's an important skill, I don't think that the isolation score can carry a team like they were once able to do. Like, the Kobe Bryant could do it and Jordan could do it. But I think that the way defenses are now, when you don't have as much ISO defense, you don't have as much one-on-one defense anymore, if Kyrie's not scoring, or if Durant's not scoring, what else are they offering your team? And that is what's really scary about these guys who are super skilled. Like, if you don't have dudes as your number one player, not your number one scoring option, but your top player, if that top player is not someone who can do multiple things for you or can have an effect on your team, the entire squad, from an offensive standpoint, from a defensive standpoint, I don't know if your value is that high anymore. And I'd be willing to bet that eventually the analytics will show that. Watching Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving each score 35-plus points every night and them still lose, what are we doing? Like, one of those guys has got to go. And you need to bring in someone else who can do other things for your team. I think that the era of guys who are isolation scorers, being the best player on the team, being the leader, I think that's done, dude.
I,
I think it's done.
I don't necessarily disagree. I will still, however, you know, similar to my, you know, Tony Gwynn and Ricky Henderson, their greatness translates no matter the era and the style of ball being played. It, with Durant in particular, because he's not a dribble all the damn time guy and yep. gets shots up like Harden does in particular, and Kyrie as well. The skill set that that guy possesses and what that leads to, which is buckets and points. I will grant you that him pairing up with Kyrie and now Ben Simmons, which, by the way, Ben Simmons to begin the season, yo, dog. Mans is struggling right now. I will agree that the tandem of Durant and Kyrie won't work because they have a similar skill set, which is I got to have a ball, I score, and then that's basically it. Kevin Durant can give you some help side, weak side defense. He's good at that. He was very good at that with the Warriors.
Yeah.
But he was also on a team where he had to play defense. That was demanded.
It was expected of you.
Absolutely. And he found a lane and he found a role defensively, and he played that role very well. Clearly that demand, that expectation defensively is not there for Durant.
Yeah.
With the Brooklyn Nets, and Kyrie Irving has never been thought of as anybody defensive. So I think more to your point, I don't know if a guy is giving you high 20s, low 30s in points, I get where you're saying, where you want a little bit more and it's still just 30 points. You're going to need at a minimum 60 other points from other guys, and you're going to need rebounding, you're going to need defense. I get where you're coming from in that regard. That's still 28, 29, 30 plus points a game. And there is right now, and there will always be value in somebody who can get you buckets and who can get you that many points consistently on a night in, night out basis. I think the sharper point about that is if you got one of those guys, then you better have other guys who can, who can fill in the blanks.
Yes.
And do it in a similar manner to the guy getting you 30 points.
Yeah.
And you, because what you don't need is another guy who could get you 25 to 28, but he at times can be streaky, or he at times can be very inefficient with how he gets his points. What you need is, this is the long-winded way of saying, you need a Klay Thompson to your Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
You need a guy who can also get you buckets.
Yep.
But a guy who is also going to provide you with defense. And you need other guys on that team who can get buckets, but they are also filling in gaps defensively. They are also filling in certain gaps offensively. And more to the point, the Brooklyn Nets and the Lakers, to pick two teams, are just badly constructed, even though they have great players on their team.
I think that I also think that the expectations of some of these guys need to be higher. Like Kevin Durant, 7 feet. He should never have less than 5 rebounds in the game. This dude is putting up 2 rebounds. Like, what are we doing? What are you doing? And if the only thing you offer me, and granted, obviously the name of the game is scoring, but if that's the only thing you offer, I can't really say that you're a guy who we can rely on to carry the team. You can rely on you to get us that bucket.
I'm saying it again. If I'm giving you 30 a night, man, somebody else can come in here and get these rebounds. I don't think his lack of rebounding is out of laziness or apathy. I just think it's how he really is a perimeter player. He's a 7-footer, which makes his perimeter play and makes his offense so mind-blowing because he is 7 feet. But he's not a traditional 7-footer. He's not a post player by any stretch of the imagination. He's just not. He just doesn't operate within on that part of the floor. So I think because he's basically a 7'2" guard.
Yeah, it's it's exactly what it is.
But that's his skill set, and that's what makes him one of the greatest players of all time.
Yeah.
And while I get your point that you would like more rebounding out of him, I'm not going to ask him or demand he do something that the position he plays doesn't necessarily allow him to do.
See, that's where I disagree, because he was able to do that with the Warriors.
Well, yeah, but he was on a completely different team. He played a little bit more inside because, well, you have the greatest shooter of all time in Steph Curry, and then Klay Thompson occupying that space, on the court.
Yeah, 100%. I think that my feeling is that, and this I use Durant as an example, but my feeling is overall, and it's an overall point that if the days of you just coming in and scoring without offering anything else but those buckets, I think those days are done. I don't think those guys I don't think those guys bring the value that they once did. I think that a guy like Giannis, a guy like Jokic, these are the guys who are the future.
Embiid. Oh, I hear you. But here are the guys you're talking about. All of those guys are, compared to Durant, more traditional seven-footers. They're more traditional big men.
Oh, sure. Sure. I'm at the point where I feel like maybe James Harden, you've got a better shot with winning with him.
Come on.
Durant. Because, James Harden as your number two, and James Harden as your number one, I would have no faith in. James Harden as your number two or number three gives me a lot more pause, because that means you're not relying on him for simply his scoring. He's now got to get the ball to people. He's now got to stuff the stats. That's what I'm saying. Like, yes, you can score, but what else are you doing for the team? And I say this only because of the way defenses are structured now, where you've got all these multiple zones, zone defenses that you can play, where, if you're an ISO guy, it's much easier to really take control of a game as an ISO scorer because you had nothing but ISO defenses. So it was just much easier for a guy. If your only thing was scoring, you could dominate the game just that way, because you didn't have to deal with people specifically trying to get the ball out of your hand all the fucking time.
So what you're saying is that Kevin Durant is a better number two than a number one in your mind.
Oh, I think that in this day and age, he's going to be the best scorer on your team, but he may not be the number one player on your team, if that makes any sense at all.
Man, you are a Warrior fan through and through.
No, I 100% believe this. This has nothing to do with the Warriors or any of these guys. I thought, in hindsight, in thinking about what I thought, that Oklahoma Thunder team that Durant was on with Westbrook and the one that lost to the Warriors, I thought that was an amazing squad. I thought those dudes were going to win it all at some point. And then I realized, as time has gone on, I think the reason that those guys lost was because they all had great skill, but none of those skills translated into creating a winning team.
I think the reason those guys lost is Klay Thompson in game six.
Yeah, well, that's part of it, sure.
He ruined that team. He stabbed them repeatedly. Oh. And we watched them bleed out on national television, and the Oklahoma City Thunder Basketball Club has not been the same since.
But I want to make sure we understand, like, Durant is just an example.
I'm thinking about a guy
like Devin Booker. Like, what else is he offering? I don't think he's ever going to win a ring. I don't think he offers anything else, especially with Chris Paul getting. I don't think he's going to do anything unless there's somebody else on the team, because the best player on that team to me is still Chris Paul, because he's the engine.
He's the engine.
He makes it work. I believe it. I think Devin Booker is the best scorer on that team, but Chris Paul is the best player on that team. He's the one who makes that team run, period. And without him, they have no chance of doing anything.
Would you say anything? Like Western Conference Finals? You don't think if Chris Paul were to mysteriously vanish,
they're done.
You don't think they make the playoffs?
No, I think they'll make the playoffs because they have enough overall talent to make the playoffs. I think they have no shot at winning a championship without Chris Paul. Period.
In the Western Conference that is occupied by the Warriors, the Mavericks, I watched them. They seem to be just Luka and the rest of them, which is what got them beat by the Suns last year.
I mean, a guy like Luka, that's the kind of guy who I'm like, that's the best player on your team. Because he can hurt you in so many different ways.
But he can't stop a nosebleed.
He can't. He can't. But to be honest with you, I wonder if the Nets would be better if Luka was there and Durant was on the Mavericks.
Oh. Ooh. Would the Nets be better if Luka?
Think about it.
I don't know. You might have stumped me on that one. You might.
Think about it.
You might have got me with that one. I don't know.
I mean, Luka does so many things. He's a smaller player than Durant. I mean, in height wise, but he does so many more things for that team.
He's a better passer, and he could get his own shot. But boy,
better rebounder, better passer.
Yeah, but he's as ball dominant as Kyrie is.
But honestly, it's not the ball dominant part. It's what you do with that ball. What happens when you get the ball? So when I give you the ball, what can happen when I give you the ball? With Durant,
I'm shooting it, dog. Just to let you know, I'm getting up
exactly.
Shots.
But that's my point. If I give it to Durant. What Durant can do is score. If I give it to Kyrie, he can score. If I give it to Luka, there's any number of ways he could hurt me. If I give it to Joker, there's any number of ways he could hurt me. And I think this is mainly dictated because of the way defense is played now as opposed to the way it was 25 years ago.
What I demonstrate in our basketball conversations is that I am a ridiculously selfish player. You do not want to be on the squad with me.
I mean, you know who would dominate in today's game? Magic Johnson.
Oh yeah, but again, it's like our Tony Gwynn,
sure,
Ricky Henderson conversation in baseball. Greatness translates, man.
It does.
Magic could play when you know in the 50s. Magic could play in the 3050s.
That's very true.
It's just very greatness. True. Greatness transcends. There is no doubt about that. Let's get to the world of pop culture. It is a new day at Twitter. Oof. And people on the Bird app are absolutely freaking out. Today is the first day that Elon Musk, who is today's version of Henry Ford or a world-class asshole, that's up for you to decide, or maybe he's a combination of both. Elon Musk is now the owner of Twitter. And he has come in very quickly. He's fired some top executives from Twitter, one of those being the woman who made the decision to boot the former president, whose name I will not mention, from the platform. And those folks who are big on Twitter are having a big, big freak out on this day. Now, to be fair and honest, I never really got down with Twitter like that. Mm-hmm. I just started using Twitter over the last few months. It is not an app. It is not a place that I've held sacrosanct in any way, shape, or form. I've always looked at Twitter as just kind of,
yeah.
And I still sort of look at it that way. But, you know, I get down with it. I dabble with it, but I use it for what it is. Just the opportunity for me to say something that I think is funny or poignant or whatever. And I don't look at Twitter and have never looked at Twitter as something that is, let's just say, a lifeblood for me. But there are many people who do. And those people right now are having themselves a big old fit with Elon Musk taking over Twitter.
Dude, it's going to be weird.
It's
going to be super duper fucking strange. I mean, I'm like you. I'm not a gigantic Twitter dude. It's one of those things where I have it because it's a necessary evil. But the idea of having just unfettered, unchained bullshit all day, every day, with this dude at the helm, it just, ugh. We talked about words matter. I can't imagine that Twitter is anything that I would want to be looking at from here on out. I just think the sewage is going to be coming out of that thing. Once he's done, he's going to remove all of the permanently banned folks and who the people was just spewing the most bullshit things and couching under the free speech, First Amendment. I mean, get out of here with this shit. Like, I would never want to be on a platform where people were able to say any goddamn thing they wanted to at any time to anybody without any repercussions. That I don't like this. I know we're supposed to be anti-regulation and blah, blah, blah. But no, I believe in some regulation. And on something like that, that's a private platform, that's privately owned, that shit should be regulated. Children are on there. Old people are on there. I'm on there. There's some shit I don't want to see. And I just feel like if we keep giving the crazies platforms. This is why we are where we are. This is why we're in a place where fucking Herschel Walker is about to become a state senator.
Not gonna happen.
You know he just took the lead, right?
Not gonna happen.
I'm crossing my fingers. I saw what's his face? Chuck Schumer. He got caught in the mic talking to Joe Biden, talking about it doesn't look good in Georgia. Doesn't look good for Georgia.
Still not buying it.
And you may be shocked if Herschel Walker wins. I will be surprised. Not at all. Not at all. This is the world we live in now. America, whether people want to admit it or not, America is a fundamentally racist country. I said it. I'm sure I'll get a bunch of people bitching at me, but it's factual. And I will say that I don't say all white people are racist, but I think most white people are okay with a little bit of racism.
You know what? I'll just have a little bit of racism. Just give me a sliver of racism.
Okay. I think they're okay with a little bit. They don't want it overtly, but a little bit, it's fine.
I don't want a big piece of racism. Just give me just a little bit of racism.
That's
right.
That's why that crazy uncle keeps coming to Thanksgiving dinner every year.
For a little bit of racism.
Yeah. They're gonna love me anyway. They're gonna love me anyway.
Do you still make that racism casserole? Oh, I just want a little bit of it. Just a little bit. I think Elon Musk is gonna run Twitter into the ground and he's gonna lose a shit ton of money on it, and it's going to become his folly. I think it's going to become his Waterloo, and I'm gonna laugh about it as it crumbles. What I found out about Twitter here as I've used it over the last few months is that you can very easily, and I think this is one of the dangers of Twitter, you can very easily create your own little echo chamber.
Oh, for sure. God.
You can mute and you can block and you can all the people you don't want to talk to. You can curate your own little world within Twitter. So while there are a bunch of crazies saying crazy shit on Twitter, if you know how to use it, you can just block all the bullshit and mute all the bullshit and hear from people and talk to people that you want to talk to and who share your worldview, whether it's your political worldview, whether it's your sports worldview, whether it's your gaming or music worldview. You can only read tweets from, if you choose to and you know how to use Twitter, you can only read tweets from and interact with people who think the same way you do. Mm-hmm. So, and that was happening on Twitter before Elon Musk took over. I'm pretty sure you're going to be able to continue to do that now that we are within the Elon Musk era on Twitter. And it's just going to continue. Now, the trick is going to be, because Twitter doesn't make any money anyway, what happens to the advertisers on Twitter? Yeah. Will they see Twitter become more of a cesspool than it already is? Yeah. And the advertisers go, nah, man, I'm not trying to deal with that. That's what's going to get people's attention. That's what's going to get Elon Musk's attention. And that is what's going to necessitate change, is if the advertisers start going, nah, man, I don't want to be a part of this because this is doing nothing but becoming Truth Social or Parler. And nobody fucks with that nonsense.
Nope. I mean, one of the weird little things I've been thinking about is, I don't think Elon Musk wants Twitter. I have a feeling that he's going to purposely run it into the ground. and write it off. He doesn't need it. I think Twitter's about to be done. I think he's going to sell it off for pennies on the dollar to someone else who wants it.
So I can buy Twitter? Okay.
I mean, let's do it. We could probably do it better than these other knuckleheads.
And we're going to rename it Blacker.
Negro. Elon Musk is another one of these guys who people fawn over and think he's such a fucking genius, et cetera, et cetera. Another one of these charismatic morons. I'm like, why do we give him the genius title? He hasn't really done anything. The smartest thing he's done, really, is to be born rich. That's his thing. I mean, he was a part of PayPal, I guess, and then. And like everybody credits him with Tesla, but this motherfucker, he didn't create Tesla. He didn't invent anything.
He
got into Tesla, and then he strong-armed the original owners of Tesla out of it and took over it. He didn't do anything. He just fucking pushed these guys out and took over Tesla.
You mean like he's done with Twitter?
Yeah.
So you're telling me that he has a certain way of doing things.
And, exactly.
Hey, does anybody know how Tesla's doing right now? Is it? I'm sorry. I'm looking here that Tesla is not in as good of a shape as one would think.
Nope.
So Elon Musk sees something that he likes or desires, buys it, runs out the people who had everything to do with the company's success. He takes over, makes it worse. Yeah. And ends up losing money on it. Now, I'm not sensing a pattern at all. I don't see it. I just simply can't see it, Marcus.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I know we are in very unusual and seemingly dangerous times. I get that. I just can't find a way to be scared of these morons. Now, I know that these people have money. And when you have money, you have power. But I can't be scared of Elon Musk. I'm not saying that you are, but I can't be scared of Elon Musk. I can't be scared of the person who was the president, and I will not mention his name. I can't be scared because they're proving themselves to be idiots. Now, they're idiots with money, and that makes them dangerous. And when you have money, as I mentioned, you have power. And that's that, again, that makes you dangerous. But I'm more scared about the climate than I am about Elon Musk. I can't see it, man. I cannot see it. I'm more scared about, you know, the people behind the scenes who we don't hear from that are the real power brokers and the people that are really shaping things for the worse in this country. Like Charles Johnson, one of the owners, if not the biggest owner of the Giants, who has been pumping money into the campaigns of these right-wing nut jobs, like old girl, that idiot in Colorado, and like the idiot in Georgia, Herschel Walker. To me, that's significantly more dangerous than Elon Musk's dumbass who decides to spend $44 billion on an app that doesn't make any money.
Yeah, this is exactly – these. How do I explain this perspective? Like, as individuals, none of these folks would worry me. My concern about these people is the influence that they have over other people. It's why the Lauren Boberts and the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the Jim Jordans and the Tommy Tuberville's get, I mean, in any legitimately intelligent society that valued democracy and freedom and justice, none of these losers would be able to sniff anything near a public office. But the fact that they, every time we say this person can't get voted in, another one of these jokers gets voted in. It's frightening how stupid the population is becoming, even though they keep telling me that the IQ of people increases by 20 points every 10 years. But I am not seeing it.
I'm gonna need to see the data on that. I ain't buying it. I am not purchasing that bit of information.
I just think we need to get really, really serious about voting rights and educating people about. I don't know how to do it. I don't have the answer. There are smarter people than me who can and will figure these things out. And I'm more than willing to jump in and do my part. But I'm telling you, this stuff is getting freakier and freakier. Donald Trump, a guy who 10 years ago wouldn't have a shot in hell even getting a nomination. He would typically have been one of the first three people knocked off the card. This motherfucker went in there and won the primary being a piece of shit.
You know what happened? A black man became president and got reelected, and it broke a lot of people's brains.
It showed it.
A lot of people's brains.
It showed it. I bet you Barack is going, man, I fucked up.
What fresh hell have I wrought?
It's just a concern of mine.
We're getting dumb.
Old boy went to the White House with his black wife and his mm-hmm. black children and his black mother-in-law, and didn't he have a black dog? And yep. people just lost their ever-loving minds.
Crazy. Well, I don't have anything else. Well, I do have a little random thought
on
this thing. And I know we've gone long, but one of the things that always bugs me, and this is one of those things that I constantly get into debates with friends about. I don't know how you feel about this. I'm at the point where I'm incredibly annoyed and a bit defensive when I hear people say the media wants X, Y, Z, or the media is just doing this. Like, the media doesn't have that kind of power, not the way you think it does. If you're doing stupid shit, they probably gonna talk about it. But as people, we got to take responsibility for ourselves and be smarter about the choices we make. If Donald Trump is running around saying and spewing stupid shit and he's running for office, unfortunately, we got to report on that. The fact that people tend to follow this dude, that's a separate issue. Or the Kanye West of the world. Or even worse right here, the media is after Kanye. And that's why he's being canceled. Like, what the fuck are you saying? Like, what are you saying? The media is after Kanye. That's why he's being, not the shit he's saying. Are you serious with me right now? I've had so many debates about how the media is after Kanye the last couple of weeks. I'm like, y'all, come on. What the fuck are you talking about?
Well, I mean, it's just it's an easy sort of catch-all thing.
Yeah.
You know, you say the media, just like you say, well, they are doing dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
Or they said. It almost doesn't mean anything when you say the media, because what is the media now? Yeah. It used to be three television networks, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and the Associated Press. That's what the media used to be.
Yeah.
Well, they still exist, those entities, but they don't exist today in the way they did back in the day, which wasn't that long ago, when they had real influence. So when you say the media, are you talking about traditional media? Are you talking about social media? Are you talking about non-traditional media? What exactly are you talking about? And if you were to ask, Marcus, the people who say the media is doing this, that, and the third, if you were to ask them, okay, specifically, what media are you talking about? I promise you, every single one of them would struggle for a coherent answer to a very obvious and coherent question.
Yeah.
It's a lazy, dumb trope, is what it is. And it's been a lazy, dumb trope for a long time. And this is not to say that the media doesn't have faults, because it definitely has faults. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a complicit corporate media structure in this country that, again, is complicit in stirring up the shit we are dealing with right now. You know, the New York Times is on some both sides bullshit, you know, when it comes to fascism mm-hmm. and racism mm-hmm. and racist comments by fascist people. You know, the New York Times is like, you know, they're playing at both sides bullshit, which no, there is no other side to anti-Semitism. There is no other side to anti-black racism. There is no other side to sexism. No, you got to call it what it is. Wrong is wrong. But the New York Times, they don't want to do that. CNN, they don't want to do that. But that's because they're corporate media and they're trying to protect their profits, which is all corporate media cares about, like any corporation. They only care about their profits, and they're just trying to keep that fire stoked so more people will pay attention to what they're broadcasting, to what they're saying, to what they're reporting on. So the media is not blameless by any stretch of the imagination, but the media is also not the problem as well.
Right. And you just made the point that I try to make. The media does not really pick sides as much as you think it does. They're trying to make money. They're trying to get the most salacious story, get the most eyeballs, get the most clicks, get the most ears, everything else.
And again, with the traditional media, in particular cable media, you either go one of two ways with that. You either go the Fox route where you just go, we picking a side and we are digging in on this side and we gonna continue to blast bullshit out to the people we know are going to accept this bullshit. Or you can do what CNN is doing where you'll go, well, you know what? We gonna try and play both sides.
Yeah.
And which, you know, again, it's garbage all the way around. Just report the goddamn facts.
Well, it would be better if we went back to the old days where, you know what? News was not to be a profit, meant to be a profit generator.
News and is now not it entertainment. Is. Right.
Yep. That's exactly it. I mean, yes, that is the problem with media, but it isn't the media telling you what to think and what to do. That's you. That's your own personhood. That's your own sovereign
citizenship.
Oh my God. I got into so many debates the past couple of weeks about Kanye and his bullshit. And it's Kanye and it was this guy, Daryl Brooks, same page for the same bullshit. It's like, just listen to what he's saying. You may not like the way he's saying it, but if you listen to what he's saying, he's got a point. And I'm like,
I'm not going to listen to anyone that says George Floyd wasn't killed by the police.
Right.
I'm not going to listen to someone who says, well, it was the fentanyl that killed him, not the knee of oppression on his neck. Right. I'm not going to listen to anyone that says slavery was a choice.
Right.
Once you say that, I am shutting down completely. And you know what? That ain't my fault. That doesn't make me wrong. That doesn't make me an asshole. Matter of fact, if you make a human being shut down to the point where they don't want to hear anything from you,
preach.
It's because of what you did.
That's right.
It ain't. It's not on them. So no, it's because it's. That's like saying Hitler had some good ideas.
Yeah.
No.
That's exactly what it is.
No. No. Once you go full Hitler, you cease to be given the ground of, you know, he ain't all bad.
Yeah.
No.
No way.
No. You
killed 6 million people, so you're pretty bad. You're pretty bad.
We don't need to both sides any of this stuff. That's dangerous. That to me, that's truly, truly dangerous. More dangerous than what Elon Musk is up to on a daily basis. More dangerous than what any of these other clowns are up to on a daily basis. What is dangerous is that when we normalize abnormal behavior and thought, thought is, you know, this person is sexist and racist and all of that stuff, but he got some good ideas. Yeah. I don't care if you got good ideas. The overarching idea you have of it's okay to hate people of color, it's okay to hate gay people, it's okay to hate trans people, it's okay to hate Jewish people. No, that overrides any benign or good thought or idea you may have.
And too many people, and this is what I mean when I say that most white people are okay with a little bit of racism. It's too many people are willing to entertain bullshit because so many of the other things someone says appeals to them.
Yeah. Well, they entertain bullshit to keep the status quo. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's my little thought. I just wanted to put that out there.
Oh, man. You spitting straight facts once again. That's what it is.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. It's another episode of Quality Hang. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Make sure you follow us on all the socials. Yes, TikTok, Instagram, and now Elon Musk's Twitter.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
People are losing their shit.
Holy shit.
You can also email us at QualityHangPod @gmail.com. My brother, as always, it was a quality hang. Fun again.
Yeah, man. As always, it's a joy. I told you before, I got these conversations I look forward to because I get to get a bunch of shit off my chest.
Yeah, man. It's a lot of fun, my man. Always a lot of fun. And to those of you who are frequent and loyal listeners of this podcast, thank you so much for helping us reach that milestone. And there are many more milestones to come. So tell a friend or make a friend and then tell them about Quality Hang. We'll see you. We'll catch you on the flip side. Be good, or at least be good at it.
Yes, sir.
See you.